ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 16, कृष्णा चेस्टाइजेज द सर्पेंट कालिया, टेक्स्ट 26। एवं परिभ्रम महतो जसम उन्नतामसम आनम्य तत्पृथुशिरः स्वधिरूढ आद्यः तन्मूर्धरत्ना निकरस्पृशति ताम्रा पादाम्बुजो अखिल कलादि गुरुरनन्तरत Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: having severely depleted the serpent's strength, which is relentless circling, Sri Krishna, the origin of everything, pushed down Kaliya's raised shoulders and mounted his broad serpentine heads. Thus, Lord Sri Krishna, the original master of all fine arts, began to dance. His lotus feet deeply reddened by the touch of the numerous jewels upon the serpent's heads. Purport. Sri Hari Mamsha states, Shirahasa Krishno Jagraha Swahastena Vanyamya. Krishna grabbed Kaliya's head with his hand and forced it to bow down. Most people in this world are quite reluctant to bow down to the Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth. In a contaminated state called material consciousness, we conditioned souls become proud of our insignificant position and are thus reluctant to bow our heads before the Lord. Yet, just as Lord Krishna forcibly pushed Kaliya's heads down and thus defeated him, the Supreme Lord's energy in the form of irresistible time kills all conditioned souls and thus forces them to bow down their arrogant heads. We should therefore give up the artificial position of material life and become faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, enthusiastically bowing down at his lotus feet. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that Lord Krishna's lotus feet became red like copper because of their contact with the numerous hard jewels upon the heads of Kaliya. Lord Krishna, with those glowing reddish feet, then began to demonstrate his artistic skill by dancing on the unsteady, moving surface of the serpent's hoods. This extraordinary demonstration of dancing skill was meant for the pleasure of the young women of Vrindavan, who at this phase of their relationship with Krishna were seriously falling in love with him. So we need the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here to glorify the Lord and our purification. So here, such a wonderful thing, Krishna's sweet pastime of dancing on Kaliya. So it's very extraordinary that how on one hand he is punishing, on another hand at the same time he is increasing the loving feelings for his devotees. It's very rare to find anything like this in this world, that when there is punishment is given, then at the same time the same activity, it's very sweet also. So this is a common, very common things in Krishna's pastime. Like even when Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill to punish Indra, so very casually he lifted Govardhan Hill on his small finger, and on one side he is punishing Indra, or he is smashing his pride into powder, On other side, all the five rasas exchanges were happening under the Govardhan hill. All the gopis were looking at him and he was looking at them. Yashoda Mai was having reciprocation of Vatsalya Bhav. All the sakhas were having the Sakhya Bhav. They were having fun with him. Sometime they were bringing their stick and saying, "We are holding it." And Madhubangal was saying that it's because of my Brahma Tejas he is able to hold it. And gopis were talking because Radharani is looking at him and he is looking at Radharani, that's why he is able to hold it. And others are wondering that because he is looking at gopis, so it shouldn't happen that he just get too much disturbed and mountain falls down. And Shodama is worried that he must be very hungry by now. He has been lifting for so long, because for mother all the time they want to feed the children. Like in childhood, the main fight would take place with me and my mother was this only. You have to eat this, you have to eat that. So like that, this is the Vatsalya. And all these loving exchanges are happening. And even when he was killing many other asuras also in the Vrindavan, he would just kill them in the, like playing with the gopas. So that's why the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna are very sweet. That Krishna doesn't take any special kind of roop and form to kill them, to make it very opulent. Here he's dancing, and he's dancing on a very slippery surface. It's not an easy thing. And then it's increasing the love for the devotees. So this is there, it was a very frustrating situation for Kaliya, because same lotus feet of Kaliya, which are like a thunderbolt for Kaliya, they are soft like butter for his devotees. When he would be doing his pastimes with gopis as a childhood, you know, very small he was, so he would be, gopis would be just crying that he is going to the forest and his lotus feet are so soft, and pebbles in the Vrindavan, they may hit his feet, and that's why all the cows also were concerned, and they actually smashed all the mud of Vrindavan into very fine powder. Even now the Vraj is very fine, very fine. So same lotus feet who are so soft, they were like thunderbolt for Kaliya, and all the poison was coming out by the bhum, bhum, bhum. Like we see in our life also, because we have also many times Kaliya-like tendencies of being envious and proud and arrogant. And when the chanting or Hare Krishna or, you know, similar kind of activities happen, especially chanting, it's like, you know, Kaliya, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. And then all frustration and all, there's no taste because all the poison is coming out. So then in the end, like Kaliya became humble, so we also become humble actually. That actually I have not much power, I'm insignificant. So on one hand, Kaliya is frustrated out of his poison coming out. And if you carefully read the Vrajavasi situation over that time, they were also very much frustrated. If somebody sees from external point of view, if doesn't have an idea of what's going on within, like when they see the situation of gopis in Vrindavan, so they are also, gopis are from external point of view completely frustrated. The lover whom they loved, they gave everything for him, he left them and he's not coming, and they're crying and weeping. Similarly here also, when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, so Vrajavasis were really very much in pain. They were very much feeling desperate that what will happen, especially when he was for long time in the coils of Kaliya. You know, it is described that Yashoda Mai was on the verge of leaving her body. So this is actually, at the same time, he's doing both the things. He's increasing the love of his devotees, intensity rather, more and more and more. And it actually increases the love for his devotees. This happens many times in pure devotee's life, that how this apparently frustrating situation from external point of view actually increases their love for Krishna. When Narottam Das Thakur had arranged the Kheturi festival, famous Kheturi, first Gaur Punima festival, and he had invited all the Vaishnavas present that time, especially Janava Mata was invited, and when she was going from Kardaha to Kheturi. So on the way, many and many, many, many devotees, almost all the devotees were joining her. And this was the festival actually when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the planet, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu has left the planet, and many of the very close associates of Lord Chaitanya have left the planet. And this was a very important festival at that time, because devotees are already feeling a lot of separation from Lord. And actually, Lord has revealed to Narottam Das Thakur and Janava Devi that I will appear in that festival. So that's why when it was known that many, many devotees are going there. And when they, actually there's a very big description in Narottam Vilas about it. But like main thing is that how they were reciprocating love with each other, everybody was taken care very nicely. And when actually the kirtan started, the festival started, Lord appeared with his associates. And when he appeared with his associates, everybody went into the madness of ecstasy. So this is one level of ecstasy. And then Lord disappeared with his associates. Then too they actually fell unconscious to the ground. This is another level of ecstasy. This is like higher. Similar thing happens in the Gopi Gita also. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis and Krishna disappeared from the scene, and gopis went mad in love for Krishna. So this kind of thing, which is very difficult for a normal conditioned soul to understand, because for a normal conditioned soul, when the object of love is not there, it's really lead to real pure frustration, you know. There is not much ecstasy there. And it may lead to a lot of depression also eventually. But the pure devotee's life, when this frustrating situation comes, it's actually the mercy of the Lord. You know, we can discuss about it. But before that, we can understand that how when Krishna was dancing on the Kaliya and smashing his pride, is actually also his mercy on the Kaliya. Because whenever Krishna does anything to anyone, whether it is a so-called favor or so-called unfavor, is both the favor. Why it is both sides favor? Because first of thing is his apapa vidham. Apapa vidham means sin cannot touch him. Any activity which he does that is ultimately beneficial for that person. We can see in any pastime, any example, and to the extent person become receptive of that association, to that extent that mercy can be encashed, you know. Okay. Like in the case of Kaliya, he actually became humble. Like many demons cases, they don't become humble till they die, until death, you know. Even till the time of death, they don't surrender. So they settle down with, you know, Krishna settled down with them, okay, Sayujya Mukti. Because till the death time, you didn't develop any desire to serve me, so you remain in like a Brahma Jyoti. But that itself is a very big thing what Krishna is awarding. Achieving Sayujya Mukti, for demons' point of view. They have been so sinful and so many punishments are awaiting for them. If they just would not have come in contact with Krishna, suffering for life after life. But now they have peaceful life in Sayujya. You know, like if you see Ravan, he didn't surrender till end. And then if you see in the life of Kaliya, because he had fortunately his Nagpatnis and they were glorifying him. Sorry, Krishna, they were glorifying Krishna. And he listened to those prayers. And because he became humble by smashing, and then also he was listening. Because it's very important when we are listening to the message. If we are listening to the message before becoming humble, then it doesn't get into the head. So that's why Krishna uses this technique just to smash the conditioned soul so that they come to the ground level. And then any devotee comes and tells, Prabhu, you have to do like this now. So then they say, we have to do, yeah, you are saying right. Otherwise, who are you? You know, like that, this mentality is there. So point is that Kaliya was smashed. He was mismatched, he was beaten, all the poison was coming. It was like a thunderbolt striking the Kaliya's heads. And he got benefited because first of all, Krishna is apapa vidham. He actually shows equal mercy to the punishable and protectable. He has equal mercy for both of them because ultimately he benefits them. And another thing, because he's free from vikar. Vikar means he's not affected by three modes. So he doesn't feel offended. Dekh lunga. That kind of thing is not there. He spoke something bad about me, or he, you know, did like this to me or like that to me. His things are not based on that. Definitely he does that. If somebody does for his devotee like that, then he take it very personally. But for personally, he's not getting affected by somebody's criticism or somebody's praise and all that. So again, it's not like he's taking revenge with Kaliya, you know, on personal level. Not like that. And then he's Atmaram. Atmara means self-satisfied. If a person is self-satisfied, so he doesn't want Kaliya's wealth or Kaliya's position or anybody's wealth. And these are the things people want, you know, dhanam, janam, sundarim, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kept them aside. He doesn't want any of them. He has tons and millions. And I mean, in fact, anybody who has in this world is all because of Krishna. So this is a very important thing which we have to understand from Tattva point of view, that how from Lord's side, he actually favoring everybody, whomever directly or indirectly comes in his contact, in his devotees' context, or even in his mission's context, you know, process context, in the context of process. So, like, you know, when Lord Narasimhadeva appeared, so Narasimhadeva appeared to be death personified, fearful personified to Hiranyakashipu. And devotees are blissful. Prahlad was blissful. So same situation, it may appear very fearful if person is conditioned with his own false ego and is attached to his own things. But even that person is fearful, even that person is having some kind of pain, real pain, you know, real misery, by coming in contact with Krishna, he will get purified. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was doing his pastimes in Navadvip, so once after, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent him to Bengal and he was preaching and all that. So that time, once he came to Navadvip to meet Shachi Mata, and he was staying at the outskirts of Navadvip in the house of Hiranya Pandit. All of you must have heard this story, very, very wonderful story. And you can understand that how, even for wrong purpose, if somebody tried to approach Lord, you know, that what happens. You know, some contact, little contact comes. So this special Brahman was there. He was the head of all the dacoits, only namesake he was a Brahmin. And he was such a cruel person that he had killed so many people, raped so many women, and just such nonsense. And that day, he just saw Nityananda Prabhu on the street, all the 10 fingers with all the beautiful rings, with all the, and then, you know, precious stones, and there was a necklace and earrings and a lot of ornaments all around body. So he said, Chandi Devi is really, really very merciful to all of us. He's speaking to all of his associates. And you know, all of our miseries are going to end now. All of our poverty is going to end now. This Nityananda Mahajan has come. He considers himself to be a sannyasi, but he's wearing all this. And he's staying in this alone, lonely place. Perfectly suited. Chandi has arranged in that way, so that we can kill him and take all his wealth. So tonight, we are going to go after a few hours. Just get ready. So everybody got ready and they were just hiding under the tree with all the dark blue shirt and everything like a commando. And what happened after some time? They felt sleep. Everybody fell to sleep, you know. And morning when the sun is rising and birds are chirping and they got up and they started cursing each other. Because of you, because of you, because of you, we just got slept. You didn't wake us up. I said, okay, now run from here because we have all these knives and the swords and everything. And they go. And this leader says, no need to fight. It's all because we didn't worship Chandi before going. So let's now worship Chandi. And with her blessing, we will go again. So they worship the Chandi Devi and we went again. And this time they saw big, big guards, you know, like 8-9 feet high. And they had such powerful weapons with them. And one each guard could kill hundreds of such thieves. So they really got scared. They said, this is not the right time. Because I think some important person has come to meet Nityananda Mahajan. And so we'll just wait. How long they will be there? We'll attack after 10 days. So they made the plan. Again after 10 days they come. And this time when they come, by Lord Nityananda Prabhu's special mercy, really special mercy on them, because they have been thinking about Nityananda Prabhu, I think, all the time. So that mercy came and all the people, they started falling in different places. One person fell into a ditch filled with leeches and scorpions and mosquitoes. Another person fell into a ditch where people wash hands and all the dirt was there. And somebody fell somewhere in the thorny bushes and all the thorns were in his body. And at the same time, Indradev did a special kripa and he started pouring heavy, heavy rain. And most of them went blind by this time. And now the head of all the dacoits, he started praying. He's saying, praying that, oh Lord Nityananda Prabhu, I think you are not an ordinary person. That's why people worship you. They respect you so much. Now I also take your shelter. And with that intense remembrance, in that humiliating situation, when he was smashed, You know, actually like Kalia was smashing, similarly Nityananda Prabhu was smashing them, their ego. And they completely humble and completely surrendered to the Nityananda Prabhu. And immediately their eyes came back and they became proper, reins stopped, and next day he went and completely surrendered the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And actually started manifesting all the symptoms of love of God. So this is like a special mercy which Lord Nityananda manifested in his pastime. That's why he is called especially merciful. That even if just by thinking of him in a desperate situation, immediately mercy came in their life, you know. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he smashed the pride of Keshav Kashmiri, we all know. For a very scholarly person, especially those times, they were the like really, really stars of the society. Now film star and cricket stars are there. So that time the scholars were the stars. So this Keshav Kashmiri was really a star of that, a superstar. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smashed his pride in a such a gentleman way that he defeated him. At the same time, he didn't give him the feeling that he's defeated. He said, okay, we'll meet tomorrow. You know, at one particular time he stopped and he completely became humble. He started crying in front of Saraswati Devi that how it can happen, all the time you're sitting on my tongue. And then she says that, you know, he's my master. You surrender to him. So this is a mercy which Lord does to people who are very arrogant. And purification takes place. Although this purification is very painful, but many of us actually go through this painful purification because this purport says that voluntarily we don't take the position of surrendering to the Lord. Even the Maya Devi, she does the role of a guru only. You know, role of guru and role of Maya Devi is similar. Or role of devotees and role of Maya Devi is similar. In ultimate point of view, guru and devotees told lovingly, Prabhu, do like this, you will be saved. And Maya Devi does with the big bashing and hitting, and you know, then person realizes, oh. So in all our case, it's not that like we get immediately purified. It takes time, and we all have to go through the process, and that's why you know, process is given. But let's, before going to the life of a sadhaka, we can see that how this mercy, when it comes in the life of a very great souls, like great devotees, you know, how they take it, this frustrating situation in their life. Because frustrating situation come in their life also. We just discussed a little bit about the Vrajavasis when they were in the Kaliya time. But let's see the example of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, when he was just 5 years old, that time he had just become sadhaka, if you see from an external point of view. We're just a 5 year old, he just met the Bhakti Vedantas, he got mercy from them, he took their remnants, he got the mantra also. He had a desire to travel with them, but he couldn't because his mother was there. And then Prabhupada, actually this Bhagavatam describes that at one time what happened? His mother is bitten by serpent. And when his mother is bitten by serpent, so influenced by supreme time, so Prabhupada writes in the purport, that is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. Now Krishna will not do this to anybody and everybody, because he does also then that person, if not sincere about Krishna, instead of becoming closer to Krishna, what he will do? He will go away or curse Krishna actually. So anyway, in normal person's life, Krishna doesn't act only. It's only Durga Devi is acting and Yamdutas are acting and all the agents of material natures are acting. It's only a sincere devotee. And then what happened? Mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. So that's how I look this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. So a great soul, or you can say a very sincere sadhaka, he learns this process of seeing the adversities as a special mercy of the Lord. And when he takes them in a positive way, more and more mercy comes actually. Confidential devotees of the Lord are in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult movement in the mundane sense is accepted as the mercy of the Lord. So now he took it in a very positive way and he got benefited. He left the place, he took the advantage of the situation, he started meditating. Now again actually special mercy came in his life. He got the special darshan of the Lord in just first meditation. Now much greater mercy was when actually the darshan disappeared. Again, if you see Narad Muni in frustrating situation, previously he was frustrating situation because mother has left the world. He is the only person. Just imagine, person has just taken initiation and he is the only person, only mother he is there, and she also dies. Very difficult to take that positively. And now he got the darshan of the Lord, and now darshan is not there. And he is trying his best again and again, you know, trying his best, let me have darshan again and again. And Prabhupada says that we cannot demand the Lord to be present before us, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we want. One should simply wait the opportune moment and go on discharging his prescribed duty in devotional service of the Lord. So this is the thing that Lord told him very clearly, that I want to increase your intensity of love for me. That's why you will not get that darshan. Because in that desperation, when you will now meditate on me, that will be more intense. So this is how Lord is dealing with his great souls, actually, with his devotees. And even life of Parikshit Maharaj, sometimes Lord just do things directly. And sometimes it's like together, you know, like Lord will do something and it will depend on the person's free will. You know, like person is on the path of, you know, sadhana bhakti. But in the life of like Parikshit Maharaj, it's very clearly given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that when Parikshit Maharaj became thirsty and hungry, when he had gone to the forest, and in that thirst and hunger, he put that snake, dead snake, on Shamik Rishi's neck. So first of all, for a person like Parikshit Maharaj, who is a king of the whole planet, emperor, it's not a very big offense. If such a big person is coming to some place, and he is only expecting a mat of straw and some water and some sweet words, if not receiving that thing and just putting one dead snake, is not a very big thing. It's not subjected to the death punishment or something like that. But why it is unnatural? Because it has been done by Parikshit Maharaj. Because Parikshit Maharaj, first of all, would not fall prey to the hunger and thirst. And even if he would fall prey, he would not become so frustrated that he would put the dead snake on somebody's neck. That too in the neck of a rishi, whom he always respect and worship. He knows the value of, you know, children, women, rishis, brahmanas and cows. He would never do that. So that's why it was, you know, unnatural that he could do that kind of thing. So that's why Acharya has given proper explanation that actually Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this situation was, the plan that for his so-called misdeed, the king could be cursed by an inexperienced Brahman and infected by the influence of Kali, and the king would leave his hearth and home for good. So Lord created the plan, the situation where he would become frustrated. So this is a very, very, you know, like important thing to understand, that how pure devotee's mundane frustration is meant to elevate the devotee to a higher position. That's what Prabhupada is writing. I'll repeat again. The pure devotee's mundane frustration is meant to elevate the devotee to a higher transcendental position. He was there. He was ruling his kingdom. Everything was pakka, you know. Even Kali could not enter. But still, Lord wanted him to back now. Lord understood ki still he is in the material things, you know. So sometime Lord will create such situations just to pull that person, and that frustration is actually just an external thing. It becomes a blessing when devotees took it in a positive way. So Krishna created this situation so that he can contact Shukdev Goswami, and after contacting Shukdev Goswami, he can hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that frustrating situation became the source of appearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Prabhupada writes there, Krishna put Arjuna into that frustrating situation, apparently. And then because of that, what came out? Bhagavad Gita. Another thing we can understand from this, the how great souls, they never blame or they don't run away from the, you know, association. Or like if you see Parikshit Maharaj, he could have like normal person do some time if some problem happened with somebody in the society. Then they try to reject the whole group of the devotees, the whole society. Ye sab log aise hain, bekar hain sab, nahi chahiye, nahi aunga. I have nothing to give and take with these kind of people. Parikshit Maharaj could have done that because he could have blamed the whole which society? Society of rishis and sadhus. These brahmanas, good for nothing. Just because of my small mistake, you know, just because of hunger and thirst, I put some dead snake and they caused me to die. Are? And rather he was thinking that I have done some mistake. And he had the opportunity to go and beg forgiveness. He was so great that he didn't even go because he didn't want to embarrass Shamigrishi. Because already Shamigrishi was also a pure devotee and he was also feeling a lot of remorse. And for Shamigrishi also death doesn't matter, and for Parikshit Maharaj also death doesn't matter. They said, okay, take it. No problem. This is a mistake done by me and I deserve punishment. Let calamity comes, because if calamity doesn't come on me, it will come on my family people. And responsible people, they take blunt on their front. They don't, you know, just you take it. You know, normal people, they take the glory for themselves and they try to distribute this, you know, bad thing to others. Even in materialistic society, leaders are respected when somebody actually covers you up when you've done something wrong and he distributes the glory. One of our president of India, he actually was in the ISRO before. And he was actually under him, one person was doing some project. And that project failed. So in the big meeting, now it's crores of rupees have lost. So this person, the leader, he said in front of everybody, it's my fault. And when the same person came up with a very wonderful project next time, so he glorified him in the public that he has done it. So this is very, you know, rare in materialistic field, but even there when we see this quality, people appreciate it, you know, people glorify him and worship him. You know? So that's what Parikshit Maharaj actually, he took it on him and he didn't make a big thing out of it. And he took the shelter of same society from where the curse had come. What he did actually, he took the shelter of all the rishis and pure devotees and surrendered all his life that you do whatever for me you want me to do, you know. So this is the greatness, that great devotee always see the frustrating situation as an arrangement made by the Lord. And Bhagavatam is filled with all these kind of pastimes actually. See Bali Maharaj, how Bali Maharaj became a Mahajan, you know. He was a devotee, but actually at that point when he completely surrendered, that made him, you know, the great Mahajan actually. So now the thing is that if this kind of heavy situation comes very regularly in a sadhaka life, what will happen to him? He'll run away. He will not survive for a few days also. So that's why acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they gives in a very nicely the practicing part of, you know, Vaishnavism, and they propose this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Even Rupa Goswami has given Bhakti Rama Sindhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has very elaborately describes all these things actually. That how, when you have to go from one step to another step, you need a support system actually. So Vaidhi Bhakti and Varnashrama, they are very close. We cannot practice Vaidhi Bhakti without Varnashrama. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it. He says that, what is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? He said Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is exoteric, not esoteric. Exoteric means something, you know, which you practice just external point of view. Just as the rules and regulations are there, we are doing it. What is Varna? Varna is our swabhav, and ashram is our connection with the society. So we all have our nature, so that is one thing. And second thing, how we connect with the society. Somebody connect with the society as a householder, somebody connect with the society as a renunciate. So Varnashram is actually a system of rules of a civilized life, which is pertaining to physical, intellectual, social and religious development. And a sadhaka who is doing bhakti on the Vaidhi platform, he needs all that. He needs bodily hygiene, he needs child education, he needs criminal law, he needs religion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, in Vaidhik Varnashrama, natural varnas and ashramas are scientifically delineated and combined to create a complex and highly specialized social system, where rules of society are directed not only towards the material advancement of society, but most importantly towards spiritual development. So that's why Vaigyanik Varnashrama or scientific Varnashrama is equivalent to Vaidhi Bhakti, where the emphasis is given on the spiritual part. At the same time, material advancement of the society is required. Because if person is not there in Varnashrama, if his health is failing, if his mind is disturbed, he's having diseases, and the social structure is failing, social revolution is taking place, there is no spiritual education, that what kind of Vaidhi Sadhana he will do? Because on one hand, he doesn't have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna. That morning and evening, he's just chanting Hare Krishna, you know. Somebody is snatching bead bag from his hand and he's saying, Prabhu, what are you doing it? I'll die if you take away the bead bag from my hand. So we are not on that platform. Rather, we think that when can I put this bead bag down and I can do something which I like to do. That is Varna, is your Swabhava. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually has very nicely told this important concept of that if our basic needs are not taken care of, then little possibility is also not there that devotion will be cultivated. Like if say somebody is dying prematurely, death is premature, it's not easy. Like you get a death notice, say like will die in 2 months, cancer or something like that. Some situation we see that person really become very intense and he get a special mercy and completely focus into Krishna. But it's not all the time it may happen. That person is getting a notice of premature death and he becomes a pure devotee. So person has to take care of his, like somebody dies in accident. It's not always there that he may go back home back to Godhead. Person dies with a cancer, it's not that. So person has to take care of his situation in a varnashram in such a way that he doesn't die prematurely. He takes his body in a proper way, take care of the body, and he practices the sadhana bhakti and take it up to the Raghunoga platform or at least something before than that, whatever, you know. And if somebody is mentally diseased, mentally diseased means always thinking, you know, what is thinking about me, what she is thinking about me, whether I'll get this or not get this. This is all mental diseases. Too much fear, too much worry about others, too anxious, and too much comparison, too much guilt. And this is very common in Kali Yuga, all these mental diseases. So we need some people who can take us out from these mental diseases, you know. Otherwise, he will sit in chanting and he will thinking about it only. Usne kal aisa bola tha, you know. So these are mental problems. It goes on and on and on and on unless we really get clear of them. And then there is social revolution if it happens. You know, social revolution is already happening in West and India. You know, there is hardly any respect left for the elders. There is hardly any faithfulness and trustworthiness among partners. And there is hardly any taking care of cows and brahmanas and old people, children. Nothing is happening. So in this such a social revolution, it is very difficult to practice. Like in Hungary, I was reading this news, last 2011, they declared that out of 300 religious organizations, we are going to take only 14 as a religious bona fide. All other will be stopped. All other will be stopped. Can you imagine? Like they had 1 hectare is 2.5 acres. So it's like 600 acre farm. It's not just barren land. Some devotees have visited that farm, Hungary, New Vrajadham. Each and everything is so scientifically and organically has been designed and practiced that even government of India and government of Hungary had made a note of it. And they have been invited to give consultation. Now because of this one decision, they are on the road because this will be shut down because they are not official now. The land will be also given to the government and everything is gone now. All the cows, all the devotees, all the gurukul, all the children. So one small social disruption, so much disturbance. And devotees were really desperate, you know. Krishna arranges this situation as really, you know, frustrating situations. How you take it, there's a different way. So now they have contacted Indian diplomats, scholars, and so many Hindu groups, 50,000, some jada, you know, more than that, devotees individually wrote to them. And somehow they made a decision. Then again, actually they didn't decide, you know. They took 32 out of them, you know, 82. They said, okay, 82 we select again. So in that, ISKCON name was there. Then they again selected 32. Then they said, okay, now you have to, we are given 1 month time. And you have to prove that you are there in Hungary for last 20 years, or you have international importance, or you have an authorized theology. So all those things were done and lot of they actually, Shivaram Swami Maharaj himself with devotees and cows, they took all of them in front of parliament and they were having a, so they attracted the attention of all the world, you know, and somehow when they declared that list of 18 more, the name was there, Hungary Association of, you know, in Hungary Society of Krishna Consciousness, and instead of international, they have to bring it that way. So then devotees wrote actually in one article, it is a great relief now. After many months of uncertainty, finally, the group can concentrate on actual service to society. This is the point which I was trying to bring from this story, that when there is so much disruption in the society, in the surroundings, it's just not possible for a normal human being to do anything. So our service can be done only when we have a special support system. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's not the Vedic time when the kings would take care of everybody's need. All the Brahmanas are not worried to earn money and get the money. Nowadays, Brahmanas have to worry about their food also. You know, where will they get and what will they get? First of all, vegetarian food is not available. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu writes, you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, so many Brahmanas were there. And every Brahmana's house, almost everybody's house, Shaligram Shila would be worshipped. And you can just go to anybody's house and take Krishna Prasadam. Now devotees, when they go out, they have to worry. Prabhu, koi hai ka devotee shahar mein, where I can get Krishna Prasadam. So in such a situation, we do need all kind of devotees to help us, support us, and that's actually what Prabhupada wanted. If we try to jump immediately to the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, like Krishna was, you know, kind of proposed, Arjuna was kind of proposing that I will just, you know, go to the forest, I will just do the bhakti. And Krishna warned him, Vishya Vinivartante, Niraharasya Dehina, Rasavarjam Rasopiyasya Param Dashtva Nivartate. That if you don't get the higher taste and before that you give up your work, your activity, according to Varnan Ashram, that what will happen? 59 he says this and 62 he, you know, gives the result of that. Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsa Sangasteshu Pajayate. Sangas Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodha Vijayate. That you will get attached to some objects and then lust will develop and then anger will develop and then memory will get bewildered and the intelligence will be lost and you will be finished. So there is a procedure, there is a process, and some people have tried to do that to become Siddh Pragya immediately, you know, showing that I am Siddh Pragya, and they fall down. And Krishna again tells this in third chapter, that if somebody just try to run away from his duties, then actually he is just a mithyachari. What is this? Sixth verse. Karmendriyani samyamye yaste manasayasmana indriyarthar vimunatma mithyacharasa uchyate. So if we don't use our natural propensities in service of Krishna with very aggression, lot of aggressive way, then mind will make fool out of us. And that's why when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established his Gaudiya Math, he expected from the Mathavasis especially that they do a lot of seva. Seva in the form of either you read books, you chant, or you do preaching, or you do some cleaning, you do puja, you do worship. It depends on our propensity. We can continue to do that. But if somebody thinks that I don't have a taste for holy name, but I will try to chant whole day, then it's very risky. So we have to check how much taste we have for something. And basic normal we have to do what acharyas have given us. That's why when Prabhupada started ISKCON, first mukhya vidhi has to be given. And then gaun vidhi has to be given. I'll just closing with this last point. What is mukhya vidhi? Mukhya vidhi is actually this chanting the holy name, reading Bhagavatam, worshipping deity. 64 items of devotional service Rupa Goswami has given. And anything which supports this, which helps this, that comes into gaun vidhi. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of taking bath in the morning. Taking bath in the morning is not a devotional service. It's not a you develop devotion by taking bath and somebody develops a society, intends a society for cleanly consciousness or bathing consciousness. It won't matter. But taking bath keep you away from the disease and mind become calm, supposed to be a little bit, compared to when you take a bath, and then we can focus more on Krishna. This is the example of or following, say, savrata, savvavas, like Upadeshamrit. Upadeshamrit, first few verses, they are taken from general books actually. Rupa Goswami just taken them from yoga books, you know, all that. Dadati pratiganati guhyamakhyati prachiti. Just by revealing your heart and hearing your heart doesn't become pure devotee. Only if you're talking about Krishna, you may become devotee. Accepting gifts and receiving gifts, but it supports the main activity because it is connected to Krishna. It helps in that. Atyahara priyashasya prajalpo nimagraha. If somebody is not eating much, he cannot become a pure devotee. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised that milk drinking brahmachari. That you are drinking milk thinking that you will become, you can take darshan? No. Definitely not. At the same time, if somebody restricts his eating, that definitely it will help him in his sadhana. So that is understanding. Because sometimes devotees are going to different extremes. they can think, you know, like I can eat anything and everything, and somebody can just become too austere and thinking this will deliver me. So this balance which acharyas have given is very wonderful, and Prabhupada was very clear about it. When he started ISKCON, he first gave only holy name. He went to the park, he was doing kirtan, and then he gave slowly introduced them to the philosophy, then slowly introduced them to the deity worship. And what kind of deity worship? In Jagannath temple in San Francisco, they used to have one candle, and each devotee would come, take the candle, do like this, and give it to the next devotee. He do like this. This is the aarti ceremony there. Then they kept one sack of rice, that every devotee would come, take one fist of rice and do like this and offer, you know. We have to offer something to Krishna. Like that they started deity worship. Many of them didn't even know that whom they are worshipping, you know. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I am worshipping these deities called Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra. Who are they? You know, please let me know. I have been worshipping them for many months together now." So this is a main thing which Prabhupada established, and then slowly introduced morning program, that you have to get up now, you have to take bath, you have to chant in the morning, because morning is a mode of goodness, it conducive to the bhakti, and that's how the Varnashrama become actually purified. Varnashrama, this goodness is being used for the pure goodness. That is a very important point. So sadhaka, he does his bhajan in the beginning because of fear of shastras, fear of sin, a reward of something. But eventually his fear and hope goes away, and he continues on the platform of what? Duty. And he just continues and continues and continues. And that is a very, very special platform which we should at least try to aspire for. Then eventually what happens, a state of obligation get transformed into a state of spontaneous passion for the Lord. But that may be very far, but if somebody can even come to this platform of just doing our sadhana on the duty platform and using all our passion, all our inclination in the service of the Lord, then eventually we'll get purified. And then whatever frustrations will come, slowly we'll be able to handle them, because we're getting rasa at least on the bodily and intellectual and mental platform, and some rasa is available in the form of our sadhana and association of devotees. Thank you very much. So it's time, I don't have time for questions now, so please. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.